Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon hour, you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles in there of the 8th chapter. Acts chapter 8, but before we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that a gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom spake it the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who dwellest above and whose word we may read and be about in this day, thou dost say, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And so we have read it out of thy holy word. For Saul did make havoc of the church, and the church that was scattered abroad everywhere, but thou didst have thy purpose. For then thy word was also scattered everywhere, as so that it would be fulfilled as thou hadst said, that they would go forth unto all the nations of the world, preaching the kingdom of God. And so in thy wise and good counsel, then it has come also unto us and unto our children indeed, through ways of great tribulation, in the midst of thy church in the days of our forefathers, and yet thy word alone that is fulfilled, and it is thy eternal good counsel that is coming to pass in all things, and we cannot see, and we do not know, what thy purpose is also at this time, but it is all in thy hands. May we be given then to bow before thee. Give us a place of true humility. Oh, give us a place that may cry to thee in the need of our souls, that we might learn to forsake all our sin and all our iniquity, and to turn again unto thee, the true and the living God. Grant thy blessing then upon thy holy word, and we have read of one who, it says, in thy word did believe, and yet, O Lord, and then his heart that was full of the gall of bitterness, oh, then it was not true with that man. O Lord, thou knowest the fears that are also so many times they are living in our hearts. Is it now true with us? Is it now thy work, or is it now our own work? Or have we begun, or hast thou begun? O Lord, could it please thee to come unto us and to speak unto our souls together? Oh, that thou may reveal thyself, that thou may give to us a true and a living faith, that we truly may look unto thee with an eye of faith, and that we may be given some of that blessed rest and that blessed peace in believing. Oh, that thou may instruct us all together. Oh, give new ones to be born in Zion, when it is still a day of grace, when we may come round about thy word of truth, and when there has never been anything that has penetrated further than our minds, than our ears. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. Could it be even in this thy very day that power of thy Spirit may be evident, and that it may come to convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that thou may give to cry out, "Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters o'er me roll." Oh, do grant us to see how great our sins and our miseries are, that we might learn to cry for free and for sovereign grace in all our misery and wretchedness, in all our guilt, in all our pollution, and in all our helplessness, in all our inability, in all our unwillingness, in everything that is sinful and wicked from our own side, from which we cannot deliver ourselves, no, not for one moment. Oh, we beseech thee then, wilt thou do it for thy name's sake, glorify thy grace in the hearts of both young and old. Look upon our children and our youth. Oh, they are young, and then they know so very little of what experience is to be experienced here in this world. But they know also so little of what is living within their own sinful hearts. Oh, that thou may teach it unto them in the days of their youth, and that thou may give to them that true godly sorrow, that may repent in dust and in ashes before thee. Oh, that the little hands may be folded, and the little knees may be bowed by their beds, and that they may be given to cry out, and that thou wouldst hear even the little children. Look upon us together also when we have become older, for the older the colder, and how many have to experience this also. O Lord, then it can be that it seems so hopeless, that they feel so helpless. And oh, give them a cry in the midst of all that helplessness, that they might experience thy goodness, thy grace, thy long-suffering. Oh, then thy name will be so honored and glorified. Do it, Lord, in the midst of us and of our children, the old ones. Oh, that thou may supply for them, when also for some there is not even any more an understanding with the mind. Oh, that thou who workest within the heart and may also work within them, and that those things also could come forth a little out of their mouths, even in the days of old age, and take reasons out of thyself. Remember thou us as countries, as families, as congregations. Remember our rulers and all that must make difficult decisions in our days. Do care for all that are sick and afflicted. That old grandmother in all of her need. Oh, that her children and that her grandchildren also may receive a cry for her. And all that are afflicted and that do approach unto the gates of death. When the fears they are coming upon a man, when he has to breathe his last here below, and when he must give over his soul into the hand of God to come into that great judgment and to receive our final place forever and forever. Oh Lord, thou knowest all the fears. Oh, could it be that thou wouldst come even in that last moment? Then it is still possible. Oh, give us also to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Be with all those that mourn. Thou knowest also even each and every one of them. And thou who art able to give, oh, just that little moment, where they may give it over into thy hands just for a moment, and then it may be experienced how righteous and how just that thou art, but then also for a moment how gentle and how good that thou art. Oh, that thou may give them also that blessed comfort from above continually, and look upon all those that bring thy word. Remember the students, him also that is not yet able to go forth amongst the congregations. O Lord, wilt thou visit him and them also in thy mercy, and wilt thou prepare for that time that they may go out and bring thy word. Lord, remember us also in this afternoon hour, for each time that is a new time, and then we must bring what we are not able to bring. Oh, give us wisdom then, and give us strength for our body, and give us thy grace in our heart. Oh, that love for thee and for our flock may burn within. And could it please thee to instruct those that are ignorant and that cry to thee for instruction? Wilt thou forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake? Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. And what follows in the first three stanzas of Psalter 164. Congregation, the words of our text can be found in the aforeread chapter, Acts 8, and there of the 34th verse. Acts 8, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? So far, the words of our text. Our theme is a searching question. First, the origin of this question. And second, the answer upon this question. A searching question. First, its origin. And second, the answer upon this question. Thus, a searching question. You also have sometimes questions, each of us. What kind of questions are they? Because there are many questions that we can ask in this world, children. And then you will ask your teachers also questions about many things. That is legitimate because God has also given to us this life to live in. Maybe sometimes, though, you have some questions about the Word of God, too. Because we hope that you are listening when you hear the Word of God, and that you also sometimes you say, well, what is this? What is that? What is, you say, what is a cubit? Or what is an ephah? Or what was the Urim and what was the Thummim? Those are not things we hear of today. Maybe you even say, what was that we read in the Bible? It speaks about the mark of the beast. Say, what is the mark of the beast? Those are all good questions. But our question to you today is, do you ever have another kind of question? Say, what kind of question is that? Well, do you ever have a question about your soul? Do you ever have a question about the need of your soul, the state of your soul, the condition of your soul, the salvation of your soul? That is, whether my soul may be saved, or how that my soul may be saved. Do you ever have such kinds of questions? That is the kind of question that we are going to speak about today. That is, it says here, of whom speaketh the prophet this? We say the origin of this question. Who is asking this question? We read it is the eunuch of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So he is an Ethiopian. He is a black man. We read much today in the news also about black men. Black Lives Matter. Is that right? Do black lives matter? Say, of course they matter. And blue lives, police lives, they also matter. And red lives, the native lives, they matter. So does an unborn life matter. So does an old life matter. Say, what kind of life does not matter? Where is that movement in the midst of our world that says every life matters? Every life. What kind of a movement is that? That is the moving of the Spirit of the Lord that says that we must love God above all and we must love our neighbor as ourself. Does not matter who. That person is, even if he is a man, that is sitting behind the bars in the prison. Thus today it is about a black man, an Ethiopian man. And that man, he had a very high position in this world. What do we read? We read he was a man of great authority, that he had the charge of all of the treasure of the queen. Thus he was one of the very great men that lived on this earth. And we know that so many times the great men of this earth, they are not godly people. Very often, they are people that, sometimes don't even have a religion. And then riches are their religion, and power, that is their religion. But we do not read that about this man. No, this man, we read that he came to Jerusalem for to worship. That is all the way from Ethiopia. So he has traveled, we don't know from exactly where, but 500,000 kilometers. He has gone in order that he may come up unto the temple of the Lord. That is something, because that man has rejected then the religion of the queen. He has rejected the religion of his own land. He has said, I don't believe that. And why did he not believe that? Because he did not feel anything in his heart. He says, there is no satisfaction there for my poor soul. And if the Lord will give that our soul may become alive, then our soul that will hunger and thirst for more than just some kind of an outward religion. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he is now returning, we read. So he has been at that temple of the Lord. And what has he done there? Well, then he has also brought his offerings. Then he has also brought his sacrifices. Then everything that was required by that law of God. What is that law? He said that is the ceremonial law of God. For he was a proselyte to the Jewish religion. Then everything that was required of that law, he was not able to come up every day to Jerusalem and to the temple of the Lord. No, that happened only once in every long while. And so he has done then everything that was required of him. And now we read he is returning homeward. So you do that too, right, children, young people? After the church service, then you go home again. And how is it when you go home? Say, maybe I'm glad I can go home now. And then you don't think about it anymore, maybe. I don't know. I hope it is different. But it's possible that you say, well, now go home again, and church that is finished, and well, then we begin to think about what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do in the week that is ahead of us. Actually, in our heart, we are somewhat glad. Somewhat glad that, well, that it is all finished again for the week. Was that now so with this man? Was that now so with this eunuch? You know what we read of this man when he is on his way home? He was returning, we read, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Thus, everything that he has done, that is not enough for him. When he is going home now, and then he is still reading the Bible. Why? Or that man, he has come from far away. And he has now done all these things, his duty, all what was required of him. And yet there is still something missing. And still, he does not have what his own heart is looking for, and what his soul that is crying out after. Maybe he had different expectations. He was a great man. He has come with his chariots and other courtiers. And then he has gone up unto the house of the Lord. And then you can imagine that in his heart, because this is not a man who has traveled so far distant and rejected the religion of his land and people. That is not a man and that is doing his religion in the way of form or outward show. No, that is a man that is looking for something. And now when he has come to Jerusalem and he has done all his duty, and then he still misses. He still misses what he was looking for. Is that so for you too? How many times have you come up unto the house of the Lord? Do you ever have expectation? Do you ever bow your knees? Do you ever say, "Oh Lord, could it be that this time, could it be that this day, oh, that it may be the day of thy good pleasure, and that you come up unto the house of the Lord, thirsting and hungering and longing and asking for a blessing from the Lord?" Is that also your life? And how then do you go away? Do you ever go away as this man who had to go away without a blessing? There are many people that say that. "I have gone to the house of the Lord and I've never received anything." And it doesn't mean anything to them either. They can come to the house of God and they can go, and really it is nothing more than to blame the Lord, to say that the Lord, he has to do it. But you know they are not doing as this man. Are there those that are doing now as this man? Because it is the fruit of life that is being made manifest in this man, in the actions, the things that he is doing, reading the scriptures, the prophecy of Isaiah. Where is he? Reading the Bible that the Pharisees, they stood on the streets. They did that and they made a long prayer, and that was so that everybody could see. Is that the same with this eunuch? Don't think so. Where is he? He's in the desert. You say he is where no man else, no other man is. He is traveling there with his courtiers, of course, but he is traveling alone. And thus, there is something that is living in the heart of this man. What did David say? He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." And he thought to go to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, he found not that living God. "My heart and my flesh crieth out for that living God." Then a searching question. What is that question? "Of whom speaketh the prophet this?" He does not know. What is he reading? He's reading the Bible. And when he is reading the Bible, he does not know what the Bible means. Is that so with us too, so often? Say we read the Bible. What now does this mean? Peter says that there are things in the Bible that are hard to understand. What do you think about this eunuch? What do you think he did when he could not understand the Bible? Do you think that he prayed to the Lord? Do you do that, children? when you have your Bible by your bed, morning or in the evening, and you read a little piece of that Bible, and then you do not understand, what do you do? Is there then a cry in your heart that says, O Lord, wilt thou open my eyes? Wilt thou show me and what thy word means? Oh, I think in the heart of this eunuch there must have been something also. And then what does the Lord do? If that is your cry, you say, maybe with a trembling lips, that the Lord, he has done nothing. That I have cried so many times. Does the Lord then leave that people always to cry? We read it here with this man. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way which goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Thus the Lord, he is going to give instruction to this man. That was before that he had read this portion. Because it took time for all this to happen. And the Lord, from his throne, the Lord Jesus, he is risen into the heaven, and he is sitting on the throne of glory. There he is looking down over the whole earth. And now he is watching because, he has given himself upon that cursed tree. And now he has sent forth his disciples and he has scattered everyone through that persecution that they may go all over. But here is now one man, one individual man, and that is for the sake of this one man that the Lord says to his servant, you must go down there into the desert for the sake of one man. Because the Lord, say about the Lord, he can instruct that man without Philip. Yes, he can do that. But it is not the normal way of the Lord. The Lord, he is instructing his people through his word and then through those servants, those apostles that he has sent forth. And now the Lord, he is sending forth this apostle of himself, Philip, and for the sake of this one man. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. That particular chariot. Why? Because in that chariot, there is sitting one of my people. Because in that chariot, he is a black man, but he is known from eternity. In that chariot, that man is sitting, in whom my Spirit has worked a concern, whom my Spirit has worked a desire, a need. And that man, he needs to be delivered from all his misery and from all of his wretchedness. Go near, Philip. Go near and join yourself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Actually, it is in the negative. It actually means, you don't understand what you are reading, do you? There is an assumption of his ignorance. What do you think? Think that man will get angry now? That is not so nice. Children, if you are told that you don't understand, do you? Say, wait, I understand. Ignorance. Ignorance is a shame, isn't it? When we do not know and we feel ashamed, do we not? Should we? Well, young people, if you have been taught and you did not listen, and you have to take your exam, and you say, well, I did not study, well, then you should have known, and you should be ashamed. Should we be ashamed when we do not know? There are many things, of course, we're not expected to know. But where does ignorance come from? We are not created ignorant people. No, we were made in the image of God. We were made in knowledge. And now this man, he says, I do not know. I do not know what the Bible is speaking about. Oh, there is an ignorance for which we ought to be ashamed because of our deep fall. Because that ignorance comes to us because of our sin. That is a fruit of our sin. What does this man say? Sir, go away. You have nothing to do with me. Oh, this man, he doesn't say that. Because the more that we are learned, and he was probably somewhat of a learned man, we would suppose. The more that we learn in this life, the more that we realize that we do not know and how much there is to learn. But also, especially, if the Lord gives to us a new heart, children, then we will feel and have to acknowledge how ignorant that we are. That we are so very foolish. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I accept some man should guide me? Do you say the same? Oh Lord, I am so ignorant. Oh Lord, I am so foolish. I read thy holy word, but I do not have an understanding. It is a mysterious book. What do you do with the other books that you don't understand? They put them on the shelf. That is for someone who knows more than me. You may do that then with the Bible. I do not understand it. Believe, do not do that. Why do you not do that? Oh, you say the Bible. Well, there is something in there. There is something in there. There is a certain treasure there. Well, I do not understand it. But I need to understand it. How shall I understand it? You know what Isaiah says? He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them. Him who publishes good tidings, who publishes peace. Who are they? Oh, they are those apostles. They are those servants of the Lord. So what went on in the heart of this man when Philip comes to him and he says, you do not understand, do you? What went on is, we don't have to ask what went on in his heart because we read it. He says, and it says, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Oh, that is now the way of the true church, isn't it? A church that is crying out for knowledge, for wisdom, for understanding. Come up and sit with me. Oh, and then they are not afraid to confess their ignorance. No, but they are just desiring that instruction. They are seeking her as silver. They are searching for her as for hid treasure. Oh, then they will look for it in the house of the Lord. They will look for it in their private places. Whatever opportunity that they may have, that they may find what their soul needs. Come up, sit with me? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? This is actually his question. He does not know. He doesn't understand. It is a great riddle, a great mystery to him. And yet, he cannot let it go. And he reads this. He sees something here. It is speaking about someone, he says. Of whom is that? There is something beautiful here. There is something that shines here. I feel it. There is something that is very special here. And yet I cannot penetrate into it. I cannot get into that mystery. I cannot come to the depths of it. What does it say? The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? That is now what this man is reading and does not understand. It says it speaks about a lamb. It speaks about a sheep. Well, children, he has seen all that. He has been at Jerusalem where those offerings were brought. He has brought probably his own lamb, his own sheep. That is the sacrifices of the law according to all the ceremonies of the law. Do you think that man had an understanding what he was doing? Or do you think it was all to him just ritual? Oh, I'm sure he had some understanding of the meaning that was behind those sacrifices. Because once again, that man was not just an outward worshiping man. No, that was a man that had a need that was in his heart. Then he has been instructed, just like all that people, they have been instructed in that law, that ceremony. It was actually the gospel. It was the gospel of the Old Testament. Then it was pointing to something. That sacrifice was pointing to the forgiveness of sin. It was pointing to washing. It was pointing to cleansing. Oh, that man, he understood those things. That is why he came from so far away. That is what his religion at home that did not give unto a man. That is what he felt as a need in his heart. That is why he came looking and longing that he may experience that also for his own soul, when he may bring those sacrifices in Jerusalem. And yet, after all is done, then there's still a cloud that is over everything. Still he is missing what his soul is longing for. And now the Lord becomes to him a surprising God. A surprising God. When? On the way home. You understand it? It is, as it were, all finished. It is, as it were, if he has gone to that house of the Lord now, and he has now not received it in the house of the Lord, then I have to go home without the blessing. And then, what is it all? And then the Lord is pleased to come in the way of a great surprise unto his children. That man, he continues to cry. That man, he continues to search. And suddenly, the Lord, he brings him to that one special place. That one place in the Word of God. He draws his attention, as it were, to this one single place. Did the Lord ever do that to you? One time or another. Or that he gives you to see something. Or maybe in the need of your heart. And you may read it in the Word of God and you say, oh, there is something. There is something. And your heart that is so drawn to it, you say, there is something there. I see something there. What do you see? Him? Who? Who? What do you see? You see a little light. A little light. And it is shining in that Word of God. You cannot get at it. You cannot understand it. And the Lord, He is drawing. He is drawing your heart, the attention of your soul, and that need within your heart that is pressing you on. Though that you are not able to comprehend the mysteries that are contained in that word, then the Lord is giving liberty unto His servant. But let us sing. Verse 168. 1, 2, 3, and 5. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid, thou hearer of the suppliant's prayer. To thee in need shall all repair to seek thy gracious aid. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 168.
Thank you.
Of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? That is that searching question out of the soul of this Ethiopian. Do we ever have ourselves such searching questions, because they are now the means by which the Lord, he is often giving liberty unto his servants. What do we read of Philip? We read, and Philip opened his mouth, and he did not have to ask any more what to say. No, because that preaching that is for living souls, that is for hungering souls, that is for thirsting souls, even as the soul of this Ethiopian eunuch, otherwise it falls on deaf ears. Otherwise that preaching that is very difficult to do. Then Philip opened his mouth. And what did he say? That is our second thought. The answer upon this question, and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. What is now the foundation? The foundation of the salvation of the church of God. What does Paul say? He says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, even Jesus Christ. And therefore, he preached unto him Jesus. That is, of course, not the only sense in which we can speak about a foundation. Because the late Reverend Verhunst, he says that there has also to be a foundation, a certain foundation that needs to be laid within us. What does that mean? That means, he says, in the knowledge of our misery. That is also a certain foundation. That is not the objective foundation. In Jesus, he is the only foundation. But there has also to be a subjective foundation. In other words, there is no place, there is no room for that preaching of that foundation of Jesus without the knowledge of our misery. Remember that Philip's preaching here is an answer. Is an answer. It is an answer upon a question. A searching question. Questions need answers. They get answers. My children, you have a question for your mother, for your father. You ask the question. You get no answer. What do? Ask again. Right? Yes? Questions. They need answers, and they get answers. No questions, need no answers, and get no answers. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. No, he does not need to preach to him the need for Jesus. Oh, that is known already by this man. That is the reason he has come from so far away, even from Ethiopia. That is the reason he came to Jerusalem. But when he left Jerusalem, that need that was not fulfilled yet. What had that Jewish religion become? Precept upon precept, line upon line. Precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That it turned into law again. The law of ceremonies that has turned into the law of works, a covenant of works, and so he cannot get anything from that. But it is no different today. It is no different with a poor soul. He lies, as it were, in a quagmire. His religion indeed is a sincere religion, but his religion that doesn't satisfy him. And the Lord, he shows to him the need. He shows to him the insufficiency of everything that is connected to his religion in and of itself. The Lord shows to him that he needs something else, that he needs a Savior, that he needs a Redeemer. But he doesn't know who he is. That Redeemer, that Savior, we heard that this morning, that is a hidden person. What did Isaac say to his father? He says, "My father," he says, "behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Oh, he could not see that lamb. He did not know where that lamb was going to come from. And so this Ethiopian man, he says, "Of whom speaketh the prophet this?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus as the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. He preached him as the sacrifice for sin, that willing sacrifice, who did not resist, who gave himself even unto the death of the cross. He preached him in his deep humiliation, we read here. His life was taken from the earth, whose judgment was taken away. They took away his judgment. They were not just in their judgment. They did not give him a fair trial. No, they rushed him into judgment in order that they could put him to death before that it was night. His judgment was taken away. He preached him in his exaltation, we read here. Who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare the duration of his life? His life was taken from the earth, but no one can declare when he shall die again. No, he shall not die again. Who can declare how long that his life shall last, that life that shall last to all eternity? And now there is something that does not really come out in the English language here that is in this word preaching. And what is that? That has something to do with the joy of preaching. The joy of preaching. And now, you say, how is that? That it can be such a joyful thing. Well, because if you experience that you are laying in that pit, and now we say that there is, for that man who thinks that there is now no hope, and now there comes a message of hope for him. A message of hope for those who are sick of an incurable disease. Is that not a joyful message? How does he begin to preach unto him here Jesus? Well, he preaches here Jesus as the answer to all of his questions, to all of his searching questions. Here he says, "I have the answer for you. Of whom speaketh the prophet this?" The prophet speaks about Jesus. And that is now what you need when you have come from Ethiopia with that burden of guilt and with that burden of corruption. That is now the answer. That is now the solution. Or he preaches him. He preaches him as the object, the proper object of all his searching. When he is searching that word of God, that Old Testament at that time, when he is searching that word of God, he says, "Here is now he of whom that you may read in the Bible, in that Old Testament. And here is now he that is able to give you peace in your soul." And so that was also received by that eunuch. That is what we read here. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What is baptism? What is baptism? Baptism is that rite by which we are brought into the church of God. Into the church of God. That is, of course, in an outward way. And now that is what this eunuch desires. He desires to be part of that true church of God. When does that, children, you may tell me, when does a person actually enter into the church of God? Say, when he receives a new heart, right? That is right. When he is born again, when he is regenerated, then he is received into that true church of God. When do you think that that Ethiopian eunuch was converted? Was that on the way home from Jerusalem? I do not think so. We do not know exactly when he was converted. But this was not the point of his conversion. No, when the Lord begins, that is not the same as the revealing of the solution. First, there has to be a question. And when the Lord is beginning, then the questions, they begin. So that has begun long before this. That man has actually, truly entered into that church of God. And yet, oh, that solution for his soul, that is not discovered until the Lord, he is shown, he is revealing himself also to this man, and so also to his church, that he is becoming the object, that special object of true and saving faith. Before that point, we actually do not know. Our fathers, they would say, it can go two ways. You see there a man, a boy, he is concerned. He has questions. Yes, but the one, he has questions for only maybe a few years. He comes every time to the church of God. And then, then you don't see him anymore. Oh, you say, that was someone. I thought he was going to be one of God's people. But was not. He went away. So another, you may see it if you watch closely, then that is staying there. And it is waxing and it is waning, maybe for many years. Till finally, the Lord, he is bringing that out a little bit into the light. Till finally, the Lord is showing, he is giving unto that man that solution for his soul. Do you know what we say then? We say to that people, then we say, welcome in the strife. When that blessed mediator, he may be shown unto their soul, and he becomes the object of that true saving faith. That needs to be known before adult baptism. That is now the point. You can read the form. And same point in order to partake rightly of that holy supper of the Lord. Do you know what they become then? The world that says that's so easy. Be careful with that, young people. Then they become a believer. A believer. Say believer. They became a believer long before. Yes. They believed in what? What is the first of the three things? Misery. They believed their misery. Now this man becomes truly a believer. He becomes a believer in what? What does he believe? What did the man say? Did he say, I believe I am now a child of God? No, he did not say that. That is what you hear all over, don't you, young people? You have to believe. And you have to believe that that is also for you. And that the promises, they are all yours. You have to believe it. No. That is another matter. That is another object of faith. That is actually a reflective faith. That is looking upon myself. I believe that I am included. There's another matter. What does he say? He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And faith in that moment, when the Lord is opening that, faith in that moment that is going out to that Son of God. It is going out in longings to him. It is going out in trusting of him. Although they would hardly say it, and yet it is true. And yet it is true. Because the rest and the peace that is experienced already in this much, just a little bit, in their poor, restless soul. How do we know that? Listen, because you say, many profess it. How do I know if it is true in my own heart? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. And now my question to you is this. What do you know of this rejoicing? What do you know of this rejoicing of your soul in connection with this preaching of the name of Jesus? Because this rejoicing is a consequence of faith receiving a new object. Faith is now going out to that new object. And that is not something that we say, I must rejoice now. No. It is something that faith that automatically rejoices in when it may truly believe in him. Before they didn't know anything of him. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? He was a complete stranger to this man. To you too? You say, I've heard of him my whole life. Since I was a child. That is true. But in that day that the Lord made him the answer to all the searching questions that were in your heart, in that day, in that hour, your soul rejoiced. It leaped for joy. Do not say that it lasted. Do not say that it is to this day. But I say you remember it. And I say that you cannot deny it. Even if it was so, so very small. Because you remember that your soul rejoiced. That is now the people whose heart has been affected with that blessed revelation of Him, even though that can seem sometimes like it is so long time in the past, like it has no more power, and yet it is a people who are not a stranger of what it was, let's say, for Bartimaeus, sitting in his blindness and in his need, in his misery, in his hopelessness, and then to hear Jesus is in the way. Jesus is in the way. And then there is a new object of his desires. There is a new object for faith that goes out unto Jesus. Doesn't have his sight yet. That is another matter. But faith that goes out to him. And faith rejoices in the prospect of the salvation of my soul. That is now that people to whom we say, welcome in the strife. And may the Lord open to you more and more of Him whom your soul has seen and in whose who is the desire of your heart. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O that thou may reveal thyself in the life of each and every one of us, then it is necessary that there come questions, soul-searching questions, in the heart of each one individually, both young and old. Oh, we beseech thee, who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, to show thyself in our days also, also unto our children, our youth, the fathers, the mothers, each and every one. Spare us through the rest of this day. Give us safety in the week to come. Help all those that labor on the sanctuary, and that thou may care for us, each one in the place of our labors in this world. Keep our youth and our children from all accident and danger, from all evil and sin. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, and give us to read thy word and what is based thereon with a searching heart, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 112 stanzas 3 and 4. Let all who seek to see thy face be glad and joyful in thy grace. Let those who thy salvation love forevermore proclaim, O praise the Lord who dwells above and magnify his name. 3 and 4 of Psalter 112.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing. Thank you.